ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 8 वर्सेस 8 एंड 9। कंसः इति सन् कंस पापमति सख्यम् तव चानकादुन्दुभेः देवक्या अष्टमो गर्भो न स्त्री भवितुम् अर्हति। इज बोथ अ ग्रेट डिप्लोमैट एंड अ वेरी सिंफुल मैन। देयरफॉर हैविंग हर्ड फ्रॉम योगमाया द डॉटर ऑफ देवकी दैट द चाइल्ड हु विल किल हिम has already been born somewhere else, having heard that the 8th pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, and having understood your friendship with Vasudev, Kamsa, upon hearing that the purificatory process has been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points and suspect that Krishna is a son of Devaki and Vasudev. Then he might take steps to kill Krishna. That would be a catastrophe. Purport. Kamsa knew very well that Yogamaya was, after all, the maidservant of Krishna and Vishnu, and that although Yogamaya had appeared as the daughter of Devaki, she might have forbidden to disclose this fact. Actually, this was what had happened. Gargamuni argued very soberly that his taking part in performing the reformatory process for Krishna would give rise to many doubts, so that Kamsa may take very severe steps to kill the child. Kamsa had already sent many demons to attempt to kill this child, but none of them had survived. If Gargamuni were to perform the purificatory process, Kamsa's suspicions would be fully confirmed, and he would take very severe steps. Gargamuni gave this warning to Nanda Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, we understand the anxiety of Gargamuni. The anxiety is that Kamsa should not get a reconfirmation that Krishna is actually Vasudev Nandan, that Krishna actually is Devaki Nandan. Prabhupada says that devotees, they take great pleasure in knowing that Krishna is Vasudev Nandan, in calling Krishna as Devaki Nandan. The Radha Madhava prayers are so beautiful. Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Girivara Dhari, Yashoda Nandan. I mean, every name of Krishna is related to some devotee in this beautiful prayer. So devotees become very happy when they hear about Krishna's relationships. But here, Krishna's same relationships are a cause of fear because of Kamsa. Sometimes I used to wonder, what will we do in the spiritual world? Eternal time, no time clock, nothing. Our students get so bored in a semester. After mid-semester, they are waiting for the end semester to get over. They are waiting for one pehlu to get over and the next pehlu to start. What do you do in the spiritual world? But then actually, this verse is also sets me thinking that actually the spiritual world is characterized by eternal attempts, unceasing attempts to intensify relationships, to keep thinking about relationships, intensify relationships, intensify one's own relationship with Krishna and intensify others' relationship with Krishna. Actually, there is no limit to intensifying relationships. All of us have nice relationships with some devotee or the other, and every time we meet, there's so much to discuss, especially if we can relate to someone, and especially with parents, a child can easily relate. Every time the child goes home, mother has some special items cooked, some special delicacies cooked. So there's so much to do to intensify a relationship. And therefore, that's the only activity in the spiritual world. Intensifying relationship with Krishna in the form of his holy name, intensifying relationship with devotees by serving together. This is the eternal pastime of the spiritual world. And the same pastime is completely to the dislike of Kamsa. So this is the material world, material consciousness. I was just trying to study this point of relationship. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi and he's a parasukha sukhi. He feels extremely distressed by seeing others distressed. There is this nice word, samvedana. Samvedana means samyak vedana. Sam means equal and vedana means pain. So a devotee, when he sees someone suffering, a gentleman when he sees someone suffering, he feels the same pain because he relates to that person. That's quite difficult actually, because very often we judge others by their action and ourselves by our intentions. It becomes very difficult to be actually feeling pain to see someone else's pain. Very easy to justify that that person is suffering his own reactions. We apply philosophy on others and apply compassion on ourselves. So it's very difficult. Forget about feeling about others' relationships going sour. We butcher our own relationships with others in this material world. At least I'm talking about myself. There's no limit to the butchering we have done to our relationships since the time we came to this material world. Krishna is eternally present as Paramatma in the heart. But still, we are ignoring him completely. Or Radhika Valla Prabhu, I heard one of his classes at Sion. And a very nice point he makes. He says that paradukha dukhi is difficult. But to be parasukha sukhi is even more difficult. To become happy by seeing someone else happy. To become happy by seeing some other relations flourish. That's what spiritual world is about. Spiritual world is not only to become happy by seeing other relationships flourish, but to intensify those relationships in the most inconceivable ways. Krishna is running and the cowherd boys are running behind Krishna. And each of them is trying to overtake the others. Aham purvam, aham purvam. I will be first. Why? So as to motivate the others to run faster to Krishna, to intensify their relationship with Krishna. Inconceivable. This is inconceivable for me. We can't even honor the sanctity of others' relationships. Forget about fostering them and going out of our way to foster that. And that too in such inconceivable ways. This is a characteristic of the spiritual world. And this is what we want to meditate on. Fill our hearts with positive vibes based on Krishna's pastimes. I was trying to list down all the instances from the scriptures where one's relationship with Krishna or one's devotee's relationship with another devotee are fostered, or very often a devotee fosters another devotee's relationship with a third devotee, and also instances where a very, very conscious attempt is made to sabotage someone else's relationship. So we will meditate on few of the pastimes where relationships are fostered. One of the classic examples is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastime of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Maharaj Pratap Rudra is on a treasure hunt. So we have many campuses, the students, they play this game called treasure hunt. There's some treasure lying somewhere in the campus, and then somewhere in the area, and then there are clues given so as to be able to find that treasure hunt, the treasure hunt. So clues lead to the treasure. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra is seeking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. And actually he's hoping against hope. Because before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns to Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Pratap Rudra asks Sarva Mattacharya, where is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why has he gone to South India? Jagannath Puri is so nice. Sometimes Brajvasis, they say, why you want to go to Bombay? Vrindavan is so nice. So he was asking, why did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu go to South India? And Sarva Mattacharya explains, wherever the Lord goes is a holy place. He has gone to create holy places in South India. So at that time, Maharaj Pratap Rudra expresses desire. When the Lord comes back, can I meet him please? Sarva Bhattacharya says, I will try. The Lord may not agree, but I will try. And Sarva Bhattacharya, in fact, made some advanced preparations to create more favorable environment for Maharaj Pratap Rudra to meet Lord Chaitanya. He said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu needs some place to stay. Can you arrange? Maharaj Pratap Rudra said, no problem. Kashi Mishra is my guru. He has a house. And in that house, there is a chamber called Gambhira. Gambhira is like a small room in Odia. So that room, Gambhira, is completely for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after taking permission from Kashi Mishra, that room was allotted. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back. Sarva Bhattacharya introduced so many devotees to Lord Chaitanya. Even Kalkrishna Das got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Completely hopeless case, but by the mercy of the devotees, Kalkrishna Das got to render service to Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi Mata, and all the devotees in Navadvip. All the devotees from Navadvip, they took their yatra to Jagannath Puri after hearing the message of Lord Chaitanya's return. Sarva Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, can Maharaj Pratap Rudra meet you? Absolutely no. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't happy with this proposal. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introduced to so many devotees, so many wonderful new devotees, Bhavanand Rai and his sons. Lord Chaitanya said that he gave special mercy to Bhavanand Rai, and he said, you and your sons are my eternal servants. Actually, Bhavanand Rai, Prabhupada says, was from the fourth class, but still he accepted him. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a king. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the standards of a sannyasi. No, I won't want to meet him. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not belittle Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He just expressed his own standards. Sarva Bhattacharya, he really wanted. This is an example of a devotee who's working against all odds to facilitate the union of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Sarva Bhattacharya understands Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. And therefore, he doesn't want to force the Lord. Otherwise, the Lord, in fact, threatened to move out of Jagannath Puri. At the same time, Sarva Bhattacharya feels for the desire of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And then there are so many beautiful pastimes that take place. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he becomes party to the team of devotees who receive different devotees from Navadvip. He is asking, who is this devotee? Who is this personality? He is Advaita Acharya. So all these devotees are being introduced by Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra is getting to know more and more devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his thirst for meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is increasing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's resolution to not meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra is also firm as ever. In fact, it's a very beautiful description where Ramanand Rai, one of the sons of Bhavanand Rai, he is serving under Maharaj Pratap Rudra in South India. And by the arrangement of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Ramanand Rai is relieved from his duties. It's a beautiful verse. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 11. So Ramanand Rai, he says, Raya kahe tomar agya raja ke kahila, tomar ichha raja mora vishaya chhadaila. O Lord, I express to Maharaj Pratap Rudra your desire that I should be with you. I duly inform King Pratap Rudra of your order for me to retire from service. By your grace, the king was pleased to relieve me of those material activities. Ami kahi ama hoyte nahaya vishaya chaitanya charane rahon yadi agya haya. I said, Your Majesty, I'm not willing to engage in political activities. I desire only to stay at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kindly give me permission. What happened to King when he submitted this proposal? Tomar nama shuni raja anandita hoila asana hoite uthi mora alingana koila. When I submitted this proposal, the king immediately became very pleased upon hearing your name. Indeed, he instantly rose from his throne and embraced me. So happy. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra is so happy to facilitate the union between Ramanand Rai and Lord Chaitanya. And Sarva Bhattacharya is trying to facilitate the union between Maharaj Pratap Rudra and Lord Chaitanya. This is the pastime of the spiritual world. And what did the king do? He became so happy He immediately granted me a pension without any reduction. Not 50% of salary. Full. Pension without reduction. Thus the king granted me a full salary as a pension and requested me to engage without anxiety in the service of your lotus feet. No anxiety. I want your relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the only focus of your life. No other anxiety. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra, what did he say? I am most fallen and abominable. I am unfit to receive an interview with the Lord. One's life is successful if one engages in his service. So, what did Ramananda Rai say? He says, Maharaj Pratap Rudra has so much love for you. My love for you, O Lord, is not even a fraction of his love. And what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? He says, Prabhu kohe tumi Krishna bhakata pradhana tomake ye priti kore sehi bhagyavana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, my dear Ramananda Rai, you are the foremost of all the devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considering the meeting of Ramananda, the service of Maharaj Pratap Rudra to Ramananda Rai as the greatest fortune of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And in some sense, the question is averted. That request is averted. But then again we find Sarva Bhattacharya making another attempt to facilitate this union. It's a beautiful pastime in the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Sarva Bhattacharya is thinking. He's thinking, vichar kori, what to do. And then he says, when the Rath Yatra is going on, that's the best time for you to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he will be in ecstasy. And then we know the pastime of how Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he rendered some menial service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, protected the Lord as he was dancing. And then when the Lord was taking rest in the afternoon, gently massaged the Lord's lotus feet. So by the mercy of one devotee, Maharaj Pratap Rudra and Lord Ramananda Rai, Maharaj Pratap Rudra and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had their wonderful union. So like this, there are so many beautiful pastimes in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another beautiful pastime from the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, heart churning. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once in Navadvip, he started contemplating on a great devotee named Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He told the devotees, there's a great devotee of the Lord, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was born in Chattagram. And very soon, he is going to come here. So you can imagine, the Lord's desire had to be manifested. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi had to come. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Pundarik Vidyanidhi that he doesn't perform his ablutions in Mother Ganga for fear of contaminating. He didn't want to put his feet in Mother Ganga. On the other hand, he very carefully respects Mother Ganga by drinking Gangajal every day. He is an abode of love for Krishna. So eventually, Pundarik Vidyanidhi comes to Navadvip. The only devotee who could understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's narration of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Mukunda, because Mukunda was from the same place, Chattagram. And Mukunda, he was very close friend with Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit was such a renounced devotee. Mukunda wanted Gadadhar Pandit to get the beautiful association of Pundarik Vidyanidhi under his tutelage as his spiritual master. So Mukunda, he told Gadadhar Pandit that there is a very nice devotee in Navadvip. He has come to Navadvip. He is the kind of devotee whom you are looking for in your life. He's the kind of devotee who can inspire Krishna Bhakti in you. Gadadhar Pandit was so happy. And Mukunda said, the only thing I want in return from you is that please accept me as your servant. Wow. What an exchange offer. I will facilitate this union and only thing I want is you accept me as your servant. They went to Pundarik Vidyanidhi's place of residence. And what did they find? Now Gadadhar Pandit, he had developed very great expectations about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. It's like Kurma Prabhu explains in his transcendental adventure that Prabhupada had never visited Australia, but the devotees would glorify Prabhupada with such enthusiasm that newcomers who had never seen Prabhupada would get an image of Prabhupada as a very big person. A big person, very magnanimous but gloriously big also. So sometimes when we hear, we develop our own conceptions. But Gadadhar Pandit, his only conception was that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a pure devotee of the Lord. But what did they find? What did Gadadhar Pandit see? Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very comfortably seated on a bed made of silk, foam, beautiful cushions, pillows. Pundarik Vidyanidhi requested Mukunda to introduce Gadadhar Pandit, who is this nice devotee. I can see, just by seeing him, I understand that he is a very great devotee of the Lord. Gadadhar Pandit was introduced by Mukunda Prabhu to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And then Gadadhar Pandit noticed such royal opulence. There are two mirrors on both sides of where Pundarik Vidyanidhi is seated. And he is constantly looking into the two mirrors. His lips are reddened because he is chewing betel leaves. And there are two personalities doing chamar on both sides. There is fragrance and there are some sandalwood dots on the face of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Very beautifully decorated. Very expensive garments. So Gadadhar Pandit developed some doubt. After hearing from Mukunda, I thought Pundarik Vidyanidhi must be a great devotee. But now I'm having second thoughts. Mukunda, he could sense. He could sense this doubt in the heart of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, in the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Because he had an intense desire that Gadadhar Pandit gets the association of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. If one has an intense desire, Krishna will reveal in the heart whatever knowledge is required to facilitate this intense union. So what did he do? He started singing a beautiful prayer from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he wanted to act in such a way that brings out the best from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Very often, a materially contaminated consciousness acts in the following way. You want to introduce person A to person B. But obviously, you want to either keep control over the relationship or you don't want to get the best of impression. In fact, one is very threatened. What if I introduce A to B and then I'm out of the picture? So, very often we might, a materially contaminated mind might try to facilitate a relationship or an introduction to bring out the worst from both of them. He'll introduce you to each other during the Srimad Bhagavatam class when both of you are asleep. But here is the beautiful consciousness of Mukunda. He wants to bring out the best from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, which he is the best. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the best. He is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So what did he sing? He sang Aho Bakiyam Stana Kala Kutam. I mean, how can one take shelter of someone more merciful than Lord Krishna, who gave the divine position of a mother to a demon who was interested in the blood of young children, who was interested in killing young children? She smeared her breast with poison in order to kill Krishna, but Krishna only extracted the motherly love from her. And seeing, hearing this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, what did he do? All those opulences that were a cause of bewilderment for Gadadhar Pandit, all those opulences were either broken to pieces or shred or thrown away helter-skelter. The Pundarik Vidyanidhi started scratching his own clothes. He fell down in ecstasy. He was weeping tears. And he was crying out, how unfortunate I am that I have given up the shelter. I didn't take the shelter of this most merciful personality, Lord Krishna. How unfortunate I am. He was crying. The chamaras went hither thither. The mirrors got broken. The betel leaves, which were nicely arranged on a tray, fell down. And Gadadhar Pandit, he realized, what a mistake I committed. He became extremely apologetic and he submitted to Mukunda that I performed a great offense. I want to take initiation from Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Of course, Mukunda later on facilitated this beautiful pastime of Gadadhar Pandit becoming a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So again, a beautiful pastime of uniting two great devotees of the Lord. Just recently we had Ram Navami, and there are so many beautiful pastimes of Lord Ram. In fact, to actually respect a person, what does it mean? Very often, we want to respect someone. But what does it mean to respect a person? To respect a person means to respect that person's background, that person's relationships, that person's preferences. So respecting someone is a very holistic concept. So Lord Ram, in his great respect for Shatrughna, now Shatrughna and Lakshman were both Shesha. Shesha like parts, because they got the, Mother Sumitra got remnants of the payasa that Mother Kaikeyi and Kaushalya had taken. So she had two sons, Shatrughna and Lakshman. And Shatrughna was dedicated to the service of Bharat, and Lakshman was dedicated to the service of Lord Ram. Lord Ram, he had so much appreciation for the service of Shatrughna to Bharat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, right in His presence, two devotees are having such intimate relationship that Shatrughna is not even accompanying the Lord to the forest. He just wants to assist Bharat. And not only that, when Lord Ram comes back as a king, and then there is this news of the demon Lavanasur, the question is put, who will go and attack and fight against Lavanasur? Bharat Maharaj volunteers, I will go and fight. But Shatrughna, he respected the relationship between Bharat Maharaj and Lord Ram, that Bharat Maharaj has already endured so much separation from Lord Ram. Let him not endure more separation. I will go. Lord Ram, as we understand from Valmiki Ramayana, he immediately arranged for the coronation of Shatrughna. Just like he arranged for the coronation of Vibhishan even before Lanka was conquered. He arranged for the coronation of Shatrughna as the king of Madhurapuri, the place where Lavanasur was ruling. So, another beautiful exchange of relationships, and another beautiful demonstration of what is the mood in the spiritual world. Mother Sumitra, it so happened that when Hanumanji was taking Sanjeevani to revive Lakshmanji, on the way, Bharat Maharaj, it appears that he attacked Hanumanji, and Hanumanji got a bit delayed. So at that point, Mother Sumitra, she offered that Lakshman may not be able to serve Lord Ram anymore. So Shatrughna could go and serve. So she had, one son had already gone. She is already enduring separation. In fact, when Lakshman and Lord Ram were leaving for the forest, Mother Sumitra was crying out of separation from Lakshman, the impending separation. But then she said, the only purpose Lakshman is born is to serve you. So please take him. And now she wanted to offer Shatrughna as well. Again, a beautiful illustration of the transcendental abode of the Lord. When Sugriva established friendship with Lord Ram with the desire of punishing Vali and getting back his wife, Lord Ram said, please explain to me the offenses that Vali has committed against you. And Valmiki Ramayana says that Lord Ram suggested that if the offense he has committed is not too severe, then I will try my best to facilitate your reunion with Vali. So Lord Ram didn't jump upon the opportunity to just go and kill Vali. He was considerate. If the offense is not too severe, I'll try my best to facilitate your reunion. But if the offense is severe, then I will punish him. We also find some very beautiful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was once in Mayapur, and two of his servants were having some argument, some quarrel. And Prabhupada told the two devotees that you should have a very loving relationship with each other. In fact, Prabhupada said that pilgrims who come to Mayapur, they are often always offered obeisances by the local residents. Why? Because the local residents, or sometimes other pilgrims who offer obeisances, they think, without offering my obeisances to this Vaishnava, my spiritual life will be ruined. I cannot make advancement in spiritual life. But the devotee who would be offered the obeisance would think, I'm not even a devotee, I'm a pretender. I'm just trying to be a devotee. In fact, Jayadvaita Maharaj says that to think that I'm a Vaishnava is one of the biggest form of Sahajiyaism. So Prabhupada said, this would be the loving relationship between the the residents. So he was telling these two devotees that it doesn't mean that the relationship should be only with spiritual master. The disciples should have very good relationship with each other. Prabhupada was encouraging. And devotee came and told Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, I don't feel like offering obeisances to this particular devotee." Prabhupada said, "When you don't feel like offering obeisances, that's the real obeisance. You don't feel like offering, but you offer obeisance." So in material world, it's a struggle to deepen our relationship with others. Forget about deepening our relationships. In our relationships, we often land up denying others' feelings. In fact, become very hard-hearted at times. So obviously, the first and foremost principle is that we need to develop a deep desire to appreciate the importance of deepening our relationships, and also feeling very happy to see others relating very beautifully. We have the left wing and right wing gopis in the spiritual world, and the only goal for Chandravali and the group of gopis is to intensify the relationship between Lord Krishna and Radharani. That's the eternal pastime. Once Dr. Patil, who used to go with Srila Prabhupada on several morning walks, he saw that the devotees did not have very good shawls, were not covering themselves very nicely while sleeping in the night. This was when the land at Juhu was newly acquired. So Dr. Patil, he bought new clothes for all the devotees. New blankets for all the devotees. But in a matter of few days, it came to his knowledge that most of the devotees had either misplaced or torn or abused those gifts in the form of blankets that Dr. Patil gave. And Dr. Patil came complaining to Srila Prabhupada, "Look at what your disciples have done. They actually torn everything." And Prabhupada says, "No, my disciples, they are beyond the bodily conception of life. They do not associate so much with the body. And for them, all these blankets and all are a covering on the body. So therefore, you should excuse them." How protective a devotee is about relationships, about protecting those who relate to him. We see a sharp contrast that Ravana, he put so many lives at stake. He put the life of Maricha at stake. Someone had to go and wake up Kumbhakarna. The person who would wake up Kumbhakarna had to die. But he put someone's life at stake just for his own self-interest. And Lord Ram, the same Sugriva, who initially had doubts about Lord Ram's capability to fight against Vali, the same Sugriva who in the explanation of some of the Ramanujarya sannyasis was not very respectful to Lakshman in the beginning, that same Sugriva in Lanka, he jumped at the sight of Ravan. In fact, he jumped and fought against Ravan just when he saw him. And when Sugriva came back, Lord Ram said, "Why did you put your life at risk? What would have happened to me if something would have happened to you? Everything would have been lost." So that one devotee, one monkey, in fact, every monkey soldier who fought for Lord Ram valued their contribution so much so that when Goenthru explains in his mind-boggling narrations on Ramayana, he explains that when the Vanar Sena had their first darshan of Mother Sita coming in a palanquin, they were all very curious, "Who's that person for whom we have been fighting so much? Kaun hai wo?" So the Vanar Sena was like jumping up and down. Everyone acts according to his nature. So Vibhishan was trying to beat them, in fact, shoo them away. Lord Ram said, "No, they are my soldiers. They are my friends. Please do not do any harm to them. Please let them continue having darshan of Mother Sita." So, this book Transcendental Personalism, Sutra Swami writes that in this material world, I comes before mine. Aham mameti. I am important, therefore mine is important. But in the spiritual world, mine comes before I. The relationship is what defines me. My existence is because of relationships. Recently we had Professor Anil Gupta. He's a Padma Shri Award winner, professor at IIM Ahmedabad, very wonderful person. So he came to IIT Bombay and we had some 2-3 days of very nice talks and discussions. In fact, there was one discussion with the students where he told all the students to recall all their granny stories. He said, I want to create a website called Grannies on the Net, which is all the grandmothers, the traditional knowledge, the traditional culture that the grannies had. You should record all that and share, because that's so important. Because traditional knowledge, which is about a local ecosystem, which is so important. So he was saying that during one of his treks to some remote part, there was one student, a group of students who were trekking. This was to some rural place. And one of the students, he went really far ahead of the others. And three of them really lagged behind, including this professor and two other girls. So when Professor Gupta finally met the boy who was first, he asked him, so, how do you feel? So this boy, he said, if you reach the top and you have no one to share, you are not there. So I reached the top, I had no one to share, so I was not there. There was no point, there was no one to share with. So this relationship is what the beauty of the spiritual world is. And in this material world, this relationship is very deep. In fact, what is Varnashram about? It's about relating properly to our own propensities and relating properly to the nature, the Lord's divine nature. That's what Varnashram is about. One of our PhD students, he was showing me that the food, the vegetables and fruits, from the source, which is in the farmer's fields, to the destination, which is our plates, there are at least six stoppages or six points of transfer. So we are so distanced from the source, and each one of those points itself can consist of hundreds of nodes of transfer. So far away from nature, we are from nature. The Vedic system was free food and free education. So the culture itself was the very nature of transactions. People come closer to each other. It was free food and free education. You come close to each other. You are constantly building on something which many of our professionals refer to as the emotional bank account. Emotional or the bank account of relationship. The Vedic culture was so that simply by your lifestyle, you would be constantly investing in your relationship with others. That's what would happen. Free food means constant relationship. Now, all the relationship bank accounts are converted into Standard Chartered bank accounts. Everything is through money. And therefore, we have so many relationship problems. So, the very concept is so holistic. The lifestyle, Varnashram, staying close to nature, and beautiful relationship with devotees, all of them facilitate each other. And therefore, Prabhupada, he said, my fourth unfulfilled desire is to establish Varnashram. So, just want to recap some of the points we discussed. We are running out of time. So, we were contemplating on Kamsa's becoming completely annoyed by hearing about Krishna's relationship with Vasudeva and Devaki. Actually, there were a few more pastimes related to how devotees have felt, how personalities have tried to sabotage relationships. We see Kaikeyi's pastime. She knew that if the son is away from the kingdom for more than 12 years, the kingdom is no longer the son's. It'll actually be transferred to someone else. And the people, the residents of the kingdom, will also forget the king. So therefore she chose the period of exile for Lord Ram as 14, which is more than 12. Just to distance Lord Ram from his devotees. Brahmaji in the Bharat Bhagavata Amrita, he curses himself. Narad Muni comes to Brahmaji, you are the greatest devotee. Brahmaji is the greatest devotee. Greatest devotee, I work so hard to separate Lord Krishna from the cowherd boys for one complete year. I separated Krishna from the cowherd boys and calves for an entire year, and Lord Krishna was so unhappy with me for that. And I blessed Hiranyakashipu to such an extent that he created so much trouble for Prahlad Maharaj. And therefore, when I went in front of Lord Narasimhadev, he did not even look at me. He was so angry with me. And actually, to substantiate this point better, he compares himself with Lord Shiva. He says, go to Lord Shiva. There might have been instances where Lord Shiva, as one of the demigods, also felt obliged to bless demons. But he never created separation between the Lord and his devotees. In fact, Lord Shiva blessed Vrakasura. And Vrakasura, what did he do? He wanted the benediction that anyone's head I touch, turn to ashes. So he approached Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva started running away. And Lord Krishna came to save Lord Shiva. And Lord Krishna spoke so beautifully. When the Lord speaks, it's the most mesmerizing. And Vrakasura was so mesmerized that he fell into the trap of the Lord's advice. Why don't you test it out on yourself? He tested it out on himself. And that was the end of Vrakasura. And then Lord Krishna tells Lord Shiva, actually, Lord Shiva, Vrakasura died because of offending you. And Brahmaji says, see, Lord Krishna is telling Lord Shiva that Vrakasura died because of offending you, but Lord Krishna was so angry when I caused a separation between him and the cowherd boys. So he's cursing himself for being an instrument in separating the Lord from his devotees. So this is the position of Kamsa. On the other hand, devotees are always endeavoring to bring about transcendental reunion between the Lord and his devotees. Prabhupada and some disciples were at Indore in Madhya Pradesh. They were at the house of a life member. This life member had prepared such opulent prasadam, constantly feeding the devotees. And Giriraj Maharaj very beautifully recounts that this life member had fed Giriraj Maharaj to the rim, and he was still offering one more sweet. And Giriraj Maharaj didn't know. He was saying, no, no, I don't want to accept. And then finally, Prabhupada, he told Giriraj Maharaj, you can take a sweet to make an old man happy. And Prabhupada accepted that sweet. And then one godbrother of Giriraj Maharaj, he remarked that, actually, you please two old men, that life member and Srila Prabhupada as well. So devotees are always trying to exercise themselves so that beautiful relationships develop. And this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented for, to capture the hearts of all devotees by beautiful transcendental relationships. So I need to develop this mood so that we become part of the solution and not part of the problem. And also, as devotees, I personally found it very helpful to learn certain tools and methods by which these relationships can be deepened. Because unconsciously, there are four stages of existence. You can be unconsciously incompetent, you can be consciously incompetent, you can be consciously competent, but what the spiritual world is about is unconscious incompetence. It's not that devotees are thinking hard, scratching their hair before interacting with others. Oh, this relationship should grow. Oh, these two devotees should come closer. Unconsciously, this is the mood in the spiritual world, because that's the nature of the spirit's soul. But in our conditioned state, because of our unconscious incompetence to foster relationships, it can be useful to not only understand the importance of deepening relationships, the importance of relationships as such, because that's what spiritual life is all about. But also, we could learn there are certain tools and mechanisms. Our Anand Gopal Prabhu, he does some very nice parenting seminars, relationship seminars. I find it very helpful. So we could endeavor to become part of the solution in this way, so that the Kamsa, like demon sitting in our heart, is not given the fuel. On the other hand, the realization and knowledge of the spiritual world dawns in our heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Any corrections, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Well, you transported us to the spiritual world by your mesmerizing talk. You said that Prabhupada's fourth plan was Varnashram. I want to know what his first three were.
Uh, I'm not able to recall exactly, Prabhu, but the plans, the other three plans, I thought Prabhupada said they're already implemented. So I'm not able to recall them, but I think one of them was book distribution, publishing books, facilitating Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy names, and establishing temples as places of worship. Is that correct, Prabhu? Hare Krishna. Prabhuji. Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Actually, my question is not from today's this Bhagavatam text, but from Bhagavad Gita only. Can I ask?
Okay.
In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a shloka called Karmanye Vadika Raste Ma Phaleshu Kadachana Ma Karmapal Hetirpar Mate Sangusta Karmani. Now, we know that nothing happens without the wish and will of the Lord. There is a saying, no, the leaf cannot tremble without the wish and will of the Lord. So where does the point of karma come? How are we making karma? So when there is no independence, when everything happens according to the wish and the will of the Lord. So how are we doing karma? That's what I want to ask.
Hare Krishna. I'll make an attempt and then maybe senior devotees can add more. So both the independence of the living entity and the Lord's freedom, His Swarat, both of them are eternally manifest beauties in the spiritual world. The living entity is free. He has a free will. That's beauty. And the Lord is also free. He is also Swarat. That's also, bhakti is also free. The relationship between the two. And therefore, it's a manifestation of love. Now, just like if one jumps from the top of a building, then by the laws of nature, he'll break his heads, hands, etc. in the best case. In the worst case, he may die. That's by laws of nature. So that is what the Lord ordains. The Lord has fixed principles by which this material nature runs. But how those principles are executed depend on how we execute our free will. So whether to jump from a building or not is something I can exercise. But the Lord is not so cruel that He just designs laws of nature and gives us free will. He also comes and gives us instructions filled with love, loaded with love, instructions loaded with compassion on how we might want to make the best use of our free will. The Jains, etc., their focus is completely on karma. Everything happens by karma. Whereas the Christians, for them, everything is Lord's mercy. But for Vaishnavas, it's a combination of the two. The Lord is extremely merciful and kind. He is giving us intelligence in the heart as Paramatma. And we often get these signals from the Lord. Don't do this certain thing. Don't do these certain things. So the Lord is eternally wanting to give us guidance, as explained in the Mundaka Upanishad also. Right? There are two birds sitting on the same tree. One is eating good fruits, bad fruits, sometimes bitter, sometimes nice, and suffering. The other bird is there waiting to offer any help if sought for. So the Lord gives instructions on how we can use a free will. But if we misuse the free will, then there are certain laws of nature, an appropriate course of action is taken according to those laws. Does that answer the question? Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, you spoke very nicely about relationships and respect. I have a question that sometimes devotees have a nice relationship and respect even. But later we found that one devotee abusing other. And in beginning they said, I have so much respect. But later we found, so how that devotee should deal with that person.
So Mataji, your question is that you're talking about a case where two devotees have developed very good relationship, but then later that relationship is abused. First of all, what does good relationship mean? There are certain questions we can ask ourselves. Good relationship should mean that there is understanding of each other's natures, each other's likes, dislikes, each other's priorities and preferences in life. One may not accept them as correct, but at the same time, there's genuine acknowledgement. So, respect also means respecting the other relations. I mean, the typical case is, husband, does he have, what does it mean to respect wife? To respect wife will also mean to respect the wife's love for her parents. Oh, my parents are your all in all. That's not respect. Respect also means to acknowledge. Now, whether one can act on it or not is a different thing. So, in my understanding, to have good relationship, it's a deep subject. There can be some semblance of a relationship. Just because one talks, we talk to each other. But is there a real samvedana? Is there a real feeling for the other person's sufferings? So, it's very simple. If you do not have enough deposit in your account, withdrawals are going to lead to closing of the bank account. That's exactly what you're saying. So if a relationship doesn't entail sufficient deposit in the relationship in terms of acknowledgement and understanding and respecting each other's natures, what you're mentioning is just an exposure of a very superficial relationship. That could be the case. Anyone wants to add to that? Hare Krishna. Krintra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.